This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Advanced Selling Podcast, once again, Brian Neal, Bill Caskey. I'm going to introduce you today.
Hi. Hello.
Thanks for saying hi, Bill. We are here every Monday now. Again, curious, we said this in the last podcast, I believe, that if you'd like to jumpstart your sales week, your sales manager's meeting. Most people have sales meetings, you know, right out of the gate Monday morning. Playing the Advanced Selling Podcast might be a fun thing to do. Put it in, listen to it, have a discussion about it, talk about how it applies to your business. And we're interested to know if anybody did that and how that sounded. So you can find us on the internet at advancedsellingpodcast.com.
But you do take the risk when you do that of someone saying, where in the heck did you hear from these guys? Where are they?
Idiots.
No, what do these guys do?
Much better to bring in a Ricky Gervais podcast, much more entertaining than what we're talking about here, right? So kids are funny, aren't they? They're very philosophical, especially as they start to move through their younger years. So me being, you know, I'm trying to brainwash my kids into thinking good about things that are good and positive and that sort of thing, and realistic as best I can. So I always say to my kids, anything is possible. Anything is possible. If you think about just all the things that have happened, and if you want to be an author, you could be an author. That's possible. And if you want to be a teacher, you'd be a teacher. Anything is possible. So my daughter says to me as I'm tucking her in, she's 8 years old. She's 7 years old. She'll be eight in July. She says, hey, Dad, I have a question. I said, yeah, Bug, what's that? She said, you know how you always say anything's possible? I said, yeah. She goes, well, if anything's possible, isn't it then possible that something is impossible?
Wow.
Oh, how you like that for a little philosophical little
now,
second grader?
Now, she the one who was on the web going to the – was it Miley Cyrus?
Oh, she was. Yes, yeah. She was. Yeah.
So she's the only girl.
She's
you
not
have,
that
so
smart. Obviously. Yeah, right. No, it's interesting.
I'm thinking maybe she learned it from Miley. Maybe
could be
concerts.
I don't. Yeah. No, so isn't that interesting?
I wouldn't have made that.
So if I say anything's possible, then it's possible that something is impossible. Mm-hmm. I just said, go to bed, Bug. Do not get up. Go back to bed.
No, that's doing? Actually the only thing that's not possible.
Isn't that amazing?
Smart I always kid, say so. To my daughter, you can do anything, but you can't do everything.
That's good.
We want anything is possible, but everything is not possible.
Like you can't drive a car without a license unless you live at Bill's house.
Yeah. She's got her license now, though. So
she did?
Yeah. Now
I didn't
know that. Yeah,
she's legit?
Yep, she's legit.
Oh, good for her.
Driving like crazy.
Does it make you nervous?
The other night we went to... In fact, the night she got her license, I said, well, we'll go to Dairy Queen because since my wife doesn't eat ice cream, we go to Dairy Queen. Well, my wife had to go run an errand, and so I was going to get the car with Karen go. She's like, you're not getting my car, so I had to drive. We had three cars, three people.
Oh, she's
Dairy
too cool
Queen. She wanted
to have
to drive
her dad? Oh, good,
and,
cool.
Yeah, I was definitely not
fun,
her favorite.
Fun stuff.
Anyway.
All right, you want to key up our topic or serve up our topic here?
Yeah, what is it again?
We were talking about when is a prospect, the funnel, out of the funnel, that sort of thing.
You know, as trainers and coaches, we get a lot of calls from people who say, well, here's the deal, Brian, I've got this prospect, and I've been working with them off and on for the last 3 months, and they're unresponsive, they've gone quiet. Yep. What do I need to say, send, do, act, whatever?
Yeah.
And we get that call a lot, and we're happy to get that call from clients because clients pay us a fair amount of money for us to come up
this
with
is true.
Ideas.
Keep them coming.
That. But yet, a lot of times, we're working on the wrong problem there, and we're working on this problem of what do I say versus the real problem of where are they? Are they really prospects, and you are convinced of that, or have they moved out of the funnel?
Yeah.
And so it seems like the traditional way to look at prospects is either as a pipeline or as a funnel.
Uh-huh.
And when someone says, what's in your sales pipeline, we automatically know what we mean. Sales funnel implies that a lot of people start at the top, but not a lot of people make it down.
Yep.
And when I was in a masterminds program the other day that we teach here in Indianapolis, and we were talking about the fact that people slip into and out of, not comas, but funnels.
Yes.
So somebody who's moving along really well and they're seeing you and you're finding out what the problems are, they're giving you access in the company, and all of a sudden things go cold and they're unresponsive, they might have moved out of your funnel. They may no longer be a prospect, they may be a suspect. Yet, If we have this belief that, well, you don't ever leave the funnel, you only enter the funnel, then we're going to treat people who are technically really not prospects anymore, but for whatever reason, as prospects, and we're going to mistreat them.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be calling them and saying, well, when are you going to make a decision? And, hell, they're 6 months from making a decision because 10 other priorities have hit them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, too, because this, if you're a sales manager or VP of sales, or if you happen to own the company and you listen to this, I know you felt this pain. I see it with VP of sales. They get so frustrated with things recurring and recurring and recurring in the funnel, and they don't spit out and hearing the reasons why and this and that sort of thing. And so there's a gap in understanding, as you said, discerning who really deserves time that a prospect deserves and who really should just fall into a target arena or some sort of drip marketing campaign or a every month or two touch. Their behaviors oftentimes dictate, meaning the prospect's behaviors is one of the things we look at to say, okay, people that stay in the funnel are the people that call back, that return messages, that send information back, that are engaged in the dialogue. That's an indication that we use. We don't use what they tell us as an indication.
Correct.
Because a lot of people will say, oh, we're ready to go. There's a lot. I've got one of these right now where I had this meeting with this guy. Smart, intelligent guy, asked me some great questions. Sent him an email, but he asked me to follow up with him in a week to do a one-to-one. Did that. A lot of stuff going on right now, Brian. Give me another 30 days. Did that. So this, I got a lot of new projects coming on. So now we're done. Mm-hmm. He's clearly, by his behavior, demonstrated to me. Now what he's saying is that I still want to talk.
Words were right.
Wrong. He doesn't want to talk right now. If he did, he would. So I got to let him go and say, look, dude, you know, we'll stay in touch. Listen to the podcast. He's probably listening now and trying to figure out if it's him or not. Yeah, like, whoops.
Whoa. Now he'll never call back.
No, he'll never call back.
But no, that's true. Let's not lose that. It's not what they say, because we go a lot by what they say.
Almost always.
Almost always.
Almost
it's
always.
What they do. It's watch what their do. What is it? Watch their legs.
Watch
not
what
their
they do, not what they say. Yeah, watch what they do, not what they say. And that is, to me, the number one indicator for who deserves time and who becomes a real prospect is how much behavior I get back.
So let's talk about three or four of these behaviors that you might see that would either qualify them in or out, or that would be at least clues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and this may cover them all, unfortunately, but one would be responsiveness.
Okay.
Responsiveness and action response, meaning an email back, and you return email back, a return phone call back, showing up for a meeting, not canceling, those sorts of things.
And I would even say thoughtful response. If someone is expecting something from me, or they're a prospect, and I send it to them, if they just say, got it, that's not as much as if they say, got it, read it, here's what I liked about it, here's what I didn't like about
it.
So it's meaningful responsiveness, too.
I like that. And I like what you said. So the second thing would be an engagement in the process. And I think you've got a prospective company you're talking to now that they really seem engaged. So they are asking questions and doing things and thinking.
There's dialogue.
There's dialogue, right? There's movement.
Versus always the salesperson reaching out and trying to touch and grab.
Yeah, and moving on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another, I guess, behavior would be, I would also gauge proactive behavior on my prospect side. And so I typically take it as an indicator. If my prospect is the one who's actually doing more of the follow-up than I am.
I just wrote that down.
Yeah. So they're the one saying, when can we get together?
Yeah.
And they call back and, Brian, I haven't heard. I really want to schedule a meeting. Again, behavior is telling me they're engaged in the process and they want to move forward. Good prospect,
that's
in my opinion.
Incredibly important. And you know what we find a lot of times, I just wrote down the word lean. Who's leaning?
Yeah.
Who's leaning toward whom? Is it you leaning toward them? Find early in the sales process, when we're doing a really good job of finding out the problems and the pains and the issues, the lean is from them to you. You know, when can you get back with me? I'd like to have a proposal. But as you go further and that pain is not on the table, it's more likely that you're going to be leaning on them because they've sort of patched up their pain and they're maybe not thinking about it all the time.
Right.
So you've got to continue to figure out ways to so that they are leaning on you, because the problem is always on the table.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So can we talk a little bit about what happens when they fall into that sort of purgatory?
Yeah.
I'm going to call it purgatory because I can. Purgatory of the funnel. And so some people have called and said, you know what, Bill, we've taken a look at this and we're not going to do anything right now, but we really appreciate all the effort you put into this. We're not going to do any training or consulting or sales coaching right now. That's good. I like that.
Because
now I know they have selected themselves out. They've said, no, I can stay in touch with them and market to them, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's a no. We got those others that say, hey, dude, let's start, you know, sign up. Here it is. We start June 1st. Go. So it's ones that we have really good dialogue with, and they do these behaviors, and then suddenly there's nothing. There's silence. There's no response. And we scratch our heads and go, wow, I wonder what happened. That's when you and I get the call that says, man, I had a great conversation. They loved what we talked about. What can I do or say to get them back engaged? Yeah. This is the tough one. So let's talk about that. What do we do at that point? What should our actions be on the sales front?
Well, I can tell. I just had this meeting with one of my clients, and this was the exact thing. I mean, this is a common call. I would say this is the most common call we get as trainers.
No doubt.
Brooke Green, who hosts the Ultimate Sales Trick podcast and has been a guest, she gets the same call from her clients.
Yep.
I tell you what you can't do is, and it's easy to forget this, you can't be in pursuit because it's your problem that needs to be solved. It's, in other words, I'm a sales guy. It's my quota.
My commission. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's my commission. And so I'm going to go out and take this one off the street. That's what my former boss used to say. Let's go get it off the street.
Okay. That's right.
Because the instant that feels like that's the vibe the customer gets from you is when they'll literally go hide.
No doubt. You also cannot show or think, probably a better way to say this, you cannot feel desperation or defeat, and then you cannot use language or behavior that shows desperation or defeat. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Right? We've all dated someone like that, right? Yeah. Maybe
I
not.
You liked
yeah,
me.
What happened?
Well, I saw it could be me making that call, but anyway.
Exactly. That's what I said. We can all relate. Yeah, but you can't show desperation there. You have to reset everything in your mind. And you have to look at it objectively to say, your behavior showed me you were into this to here. Now your behaviors are showing me that you're not. And so that reset, it puts you in a different place in my life, my brain, and in my funnel. Mm-hmm. And
did
it's
you
just
say that?
Matter of fact. Sure, you could.
Okay.
You could.
All right.
Maybe that sounded maybe a little harsh, but something like that, absolutely.
Yeah.
To say, hey, let me tell you, I feel like we've stalled out here a bit. Here's how I typically handle it when we stall out. Number one, I think we need to reconnect and just see where are we and should we even continue on here or should we call it a day and be done?
I've got a strategy for that, Brian.
Do it.
I've just named it.
What?
You gave me the strategy. I didn't know what to call it. Now I have something to call it.
And
you know what it is?
What?
The truth.
The truth.
The truth is a great strategy because what you just did was...
Oh, truth is a strategy. It's good.
You just laid out exactly what the situation was. You weren't pleading with me.
No.
You weren't trying to make it different than it was. You were almost just acknowledging, look, here's what's happened.
Yeah.
We've been taught, now I haven't heard from you. I'm not sure what's going on. If you've already decided to make another decision, that's fine.
Yep.
But I need some guidance on how to continue to follow up. And what do you think we should do? Do you want to get together and start over? Do you want to end it totally and go have a drink? Or what do you want to do?
Yep. You tell me.
So you just gave voice to exactly what that conversation should sound like.
Yeah.
And could it be a voicemail? Oh, yeah, it could be a voicemail. I don't think it's an email, though. I still don't think this is a good topic for an email because there's too many intonations that you need to have in a voice that you wouldn't have in an email.
It's hard. And the challenge I've found, and I agree with you that it needs to be a conversation, the challenge I've found that my clients get into is they make the call, and because we're in the stall mode, they do get voicemail and don't get the person on the phone, and then they're left with because they've shown evidence of emailing.
True.
So it's just that is tricky. Not too much in the email, but where are we? And then at some point, we have to have what you might call a stop loss on a stock. When it gets down to a certain level, you're done.
Yeah.
And so there comes a time when, you know, three interactions to you with none back or four to you and none back to me, that's when I call it off myself.
Yep.
And the difference here is the call off has got to be definitive. It's got to be, I'm working on the assumption from today forward that we're finished, we're complete. I'm going to put your program situation on the shelf for now. I'll stay in touch periodically throughout the year. In the meantime, if something changes, you want to give me a call, that's fine. I can reopen things where we left off.
Yeah.
And we're done.
And to that, if you're coaching me, I would be concerned about that because I would say, well, that's pretty much telling him that we're done.
Yeah.
And my response to that is, no, he has told you you're done.
Correct.
By his behavior of not calling you back.
No doubt.
And
exactly.
Because if people are still interested and see you as a resource that they can't afford to live without, they would call you back and say, look, don't go away. Let me tell you what's
Correct.
Happened. No priorities. I thought I was injured. Whatever.
Yep. The outcome in those two things is always the right outcome. It's always positive.
It yeah.
You either know or you get back reengaged.
Yeah.
So
good topic.
Yeah, very good
topic today.
Very good.
Okay, go to Advanced Selling Podcast. You can go to Brian's Twitter page. We're still trying to figure out the whole
B-N-E-A-L-E,
Advanced Selling Podcast.
B-N-E-A-L-E. B-N-E-A-L-E. At.
B-N-E-A-L Twitter. And then we've got some other things, cool things coming up. Make
yep.
sure you go to AskBillAndBrian.com as well if you'd want to ask us a question, and we'll try to answer it. Yep. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.